You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Mike's on. He's ready to go.
On the Fan.
New York Sports Radio.
Mike's on. Mike's on.
He'll get you the sports any way that he can. It's Mike Francesa on the Fan.
Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM. WFAN.
From the studios of WFAN, this is Mike's on, Francesa on the Fan on this nice Thursday. It's not a bad day, a little cloudy this morning. Played some golf early, but it got a little nicer as the day went on. The 12th day of the month of July, as we move a little deeper into the baseball season and get closer to the All-Star game, where everything now is about one pitcher who will be on the mound tonight. It is all now about just the saga of Blake Snell. That's it. That's all there is now. That's all there is in baseball. He went from the most unknown good pitcher this year to a guy now who has become a cause celeb. And he not making the All-Star team, which was, without question, an outrageous snub, has been called the snub of the century, has gotten him more attention than if he had made the All-Star team 10 years in a row. Because if he had been on the All-Star team, everyone would have said, hey, look at all these pitches. Look at all this, you know, terrific pitching. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Look at this guy. Man, look at that pitching. Wow. And whether he got in a game or not, no one even would have noticed. He would have pitched an inning and moved on, not making it, when clearly he deserved to make it. We know that it's a function of how the players are picked, a function of every team needing a player, all the different things. We all know why it happens. But here's a guy who clearly has been one of the best pitchers in baseball, and a guy who you know, Yankee fans have mentioned on their wish list many times, although he's not going anywhere. But he not making it actually elevated his status now by 10 compared to where it would have been had he just made the team. Because if you've seen it, it has been, you know, there have been, you know, commentaries and, you know, editorials and just everyone going crazy about the fact that this guy with, without question, I mean, overwhelming All-Star numbers has not made the All-Star team. If I was, now he pitches tonight, which means he'd be extremely well-rested as he goes in Minnesota this evening. He will be asked because somebody will bow out. Somebody on the pitching list, I don't know, I have to look at the list, but somebody on the pitching list for the American League will bow out. He'll need a couple days off, he'll be tired, whatever the situation, he'll pitch Sunday and he'll bow out of the game. Somebody will bow out. And he'll be asked to join the team, and if I'm him, I don't do it. I say, sorry, made other plans, not going. That would be the way to answer that slight that he received. But this is better for him than anything could ever have been. Because now, like I said, he has been a national story for days and will be the story leading up to the All-Star game because of the fact that, you know, they are terming it, which is a little much, but still, he truly was snubbed. It's an injustice that he is not on the team. I mean, he absolutely belongs. His numbers are overwhelming. And, you know, he's been every bit as good as just about anybody among the starters in baseball. You know, he's been right there. And, you know, he's not there. So, you know, it's the way it goes. I mean, it happens. We all know that. You know, you can't do much about it. But it has become a big deal. He leads the, you know, he's right there. He's, I think, second in the league in ERA. He's, you know, 12-4 with a 2 ERA. His whip is 1.0. He's, you know, struck out 132 batters already. He's had a great season. And remember, he's on a team that has gotten very hot. I mean, Tampa got off to a bad start and has played, you know, since they swept the Yankees down in Tampa, they have played unbelievably well. They are 4 games over .500 in a division, remember, that has two of the, you know, teams that are on their way to 100 wins this year. And he has had a tremendous season. So that has been the story and will be leading up to next week's game. You have Severino tonight and Kluber as the Yankees begin their 4 games in Cleveland as they get away from, you know, talk of nothing but Machado for a couple of days after their win last night. I know for some fans, I don't know what they'll do now that they can't, at least for a couple of days, attack Gray. Or, you know, attack Bird, who, you know, both guys who have been struggling have turned it around. Bird for a couple days now with the big hit last night. And then, of course, Gray with his 6 innings and 8 strikeouts last night of shutout ball, at least for another go-round, keeping himself in the rotation. Severino against Kluber in the battle of aces this evening in Cleveland. You know, Cleveland, which has had the year that I kind of thought they would have, where they were not going to win as many games as last year. It was not going to be necessary. They are in a league where they can win the division by 15 games and not win more than 90. That's how good it is. That's how bad it is. I mean, they are 9 games over. The next team is 8 games under. So, I mean, they can, with an 8.5-game lead, they can coast all the way through and have a very nice time of getting ready, getting their bullpen, which has been a big problem all year, get that together and get ready for the postseason and be thinking about nothing else as they will get ready for a 4-game series with the Yankees before the All-Star break. And Washington slips into New York to take on the Mets, who got the, you know, after DeGrom's performance again last night, another one of those, you know, wonderful 8-inning performances that went for nothing. Hey, at least they didn't lose last night. I happened to be winning. I happened to be watching when they won the game last night when Nimmo hit the home run. I happened to be watching as he and you know, Reyes, you know, working out that that walk last night. It wasn't easy. You know, it was a little iffy right there after the Rosario double. But the 3-run homer as they get, at least for a night, have a little fun. Have a, put a couple of smiles on people's faces for at least a couple of minutes with their 3-0 victory in 10 last night. The walk-off by Nimmo last night as they get a win and DeGrom goes and pitches another brilliant game. And will carry, you know, will really carry a bizarre, really a bizarre record, 5-4 record with a 1.68 ERA into the All-Star game. I mean, really is. I mean, his numbers are overwhelming. He's had an incredible first half. You know, he's got a whip under one. He's got a 1.68 ERA, and he's got a 5-4 record. And, you know, the Mets haven't even been able to win more than half of his games. They've won less than that. And again, game after game, you know, it's all the same. Last night, the Mets have, I think they said on the game last night, there have been, and this is really an almost unfathomable number, the Mets have been 0-0 after 5 innings, I believe 11 times this year. That is unbelievable. Think about it. It means you're getting some starting pitching, and you cannot hit at all. So that's, you know, when you've played, like they've played 90 games and more than 10% of their games have been 0-0 after 5 innings, which is really amazing. It really is when you think about it. The ineptitude of their offense, which is becoming historic this year. Their offensive numbers are becoming historic. That's how bad they are. And they really have, for the most part, gotten good pitching performances more often than not as far as the starting pitching goes. Vargas aside, especially if you take his starts out of the mix, and a couple of the guys who don't belong. If you took the Vargas and the guys who really don't belong out of the mix and you just went with the basic games, you know, the just take the game started by, you know, I know Syndergaard hasn't been there in a while, but take Mattson, Wheeler, and DeGrom. The games, for the most part, the starting pitching has been solid. I mean, it's been the bullpen. It's been lackluster defense, bad situational baseball, an atrocious bullpen, and an offense so anemic that it boggles the mind. And that's how you wind up with that kind of pitching in the starting pitching department and being 16 games under 500 and having won, what, maybe five of the last 26 games at home? Maybe they're 5-21 or 5-22 or something like that. You know, in their last 27 games at Citi Field. I think they've won five. And have put up some of the lowest offensive numbers over that much time at home in the history of the sport. So you're talking about them not just being bad, they've been bad to historic levels as far as their offense goes. So that's where we are. We have Boone today as we get ready for this last four-game series before the All-Star break. As we said, Severino, who will be well-rested for the All-Star game, goes against Kluber. Bring me the let me see who's on the what pitches made it, Mons, for both teams. I saw the American League pitches. I didn't see the National League. I saw the American League because I was looking at the thing with Snell last night. But I saw the American. I didn't see the National. But bring me both pitches. I don't care who's on the team. Just bring the pitches. That's all I care about seeing. It's just the pitches. But obviously, DeGrom's there with his 5-4 record and his major league leading 1.68. ERA after eight more scoreless innings last night. So we got a lot to do today. Busy show. In just a couple of minutes, the Giants supplemental third round pick, Sam Beal, who will be in the cornerback mix for them. The first guy who has been a supplemental pick, and I think there were two this year. The first time that anybody's used a supplemental pick, remember, they ask you in draft order, they go down the line. You want to use a one? They go through the ones, want to use a two, go through the twos, get to the three, Giants picked. This is the first time the league has had a supplemental draft pick, and there's usually a couple players available for that each year. They haven't had one picked in about 5 years before this, and this year you had a couple, and the Giants gave a three for Beal, and as they look at it, they got a third-round player a year early and can get him in the mix very soon, so he will join us in a little while just to say hello to the city and talk about his future with the Giants, who are just a couple of weeks away from training camp. We're gonna be at Giant training camp early. We will be with the Giants on Friday, July 27th. We will visit the Jets they'll be at the end. I think it's the 21st of August that we will visit the Jets. We will visit the Giants early, which will be the 27th of July. The Jets will be, as I said, August 21, I believe, the day we visit them. Then we will be at Barre the 24th, so that'll be a busy week from that standpoint. But before you know it, here 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks and a day, 2 weeks from tomorrow, we will be with the football Giants, and it will be time to talk training camp and this season, which will hopefully be a promising one for the Giants, a chance to dust off all their new offensive toys and to kind of get back to competitiveness, although you will be getting a bargain because against what is the backdrop of a very, very tough schedule, especially early, the Giants' number is really low. I've seen it as low as six, and I think that's way off. I know the schedule is tough, and I worry about teams that have very, very tough schedules early, but six is outrageous. Jets is going to be a learning curve. I just hope that we start with Donald right from the get-go because I think that's where it should be. I have the Met lineup here before I take my first break. Here we go. Nimmo, who's a star last night of the games in lineup. Cabrera at second base. Cabrera, who is and the Mets are going to be very busy, my understanding, right after the All-Star game in terms of, making moves. Very busy. McNeil, they are holding until Cabrera's, launch to some contending team. Batista, Conforto, nice of them to take Smith out of the four spot after last night's performance, 0-4. That was almost comical. He's not in the lineup tonight. Flores is at first base, batting fifth. Dendecker, Plawecki, Reyes, Mats, as they open up against the Nationals this evening. The pitches, oh, there they are. I'll go through those in a couple of minutes. We'll look at those, and we'll get everything rolling for this Thursday program right after this.